Welcome to your midweek Wednesday edition of What Matters in North Carolina. My name is Mark Shiver. Glad to have you joining us and going to talk to one of the most prominent conservative voices in the country today, and that is Daniel Horowitz. He is the senior editor at conservativereview.com and author of the book Stolen Sovereignty: How to Stop Unelected Judges from Transforming America. And we're going to talk to Daniel a little bit about last week's Obamacare, the repeal that wasn't, let's call it that way, the circus that came to Washington, D.C. and left, having done nothing. And we'll talk to Daniel about the role that North Carolina's own Congressman Mark Meadows played as the chairman of the Freedom Caucus. He stood fast and he said, look, guys, this bill is not the solution. It's not the answer. It's worse, actually, than we are currently experiencing under Obamacare. And so nothing was done, which in a weird kind of way is probably best, because the bill that they were considering, had it been passed, Daniel will tell us, certainly was not what we needed. And the Republicans would have been stuck with that mess on their hands. At least now it's still Obamacare, and there's an opportunity, hopefully, if folks up there in Washington will listen to strong conservatives like Congressman Meadows and say, look, this is what we need to do. Question is, do they really want to do it? We'll ask Daniel Horowitz that, and I think you can already tell what his answer is going to be. Going to talk to Daniel also about what's next. Is there anything to be done for healthcare right now? And also, President Trump has said, let's move on to budget stuff, tax reform, regulatory reform. What can we expect on those fronts as well? But strong hat tip going to North Carolina's own Congressman Mark Meadows, representing his district and our state and conservatives very well as chairman of the Freedom Caucus. Without any further ado, let's talk with Daniel Horowitz, senior editor at conservativereview.com. It's always a great honor to have on What Matters in North Carolina, Daniel Horowitz of Conservative Review. Daniel, just a few moments with you. I know you're very, very busy, but the repeal that wasn't last week, the circus came to D.C. and left with Obamacare still in force. Can you tell us what happened?
You know, obviously I'm never one to beat around the bush, and I think a lot of people are beating around the bush by getting sucked into the details of this bill or the last couple of weeks. This has really been going on under the radar for 5 years, and really it's been going on for 50 years, and it's not just about health care. The Republican Party is a socialist ratchet. They take whatever the Democrats do when they're in power, and then that is used as the baseline, and then they create a false binary choice. Well, do we go even further into socialism or stay the same? And usually they split the difference. But they'll never, ever roll back anything harmful that the left does to grow the Leviathan. That is a rule. We came to Obamacare, and that's when it was so destructive because, you know, we already had socialist medicine for about half the country, and this took the remaining half and made it insolvent. And we said, this is a bridge too far. When we get into power, this time is going to be different, and we're going to completely repeal this thing. Now, that messaging was so strong that Republicans had to go along with it. So in rhetoric, they all ran these campaigns saying, we're going to repeal it. Mitch McConnell would run he's the Senate Majority Leader, saying we're going to repeal, quote, root and branch.
Yeah.
And now many of us engaged in primary challenges to these people because we knew they were lying. The Chamber of Commerce made it their official position as of 2012 to fix, not repeal, Obamacare. So they were getting money from the chamber and also from big pharma and the industries precisely because they knew they were not going to repeal it, but they would use those funds to put out misleading ads to their both in the primaries and general elections to say they're going to fully repeal Obamacare. So none of this really surprised those of us who were involved in this and fighting this battle for a while. But in comes this bill, which was sold as repeal, but demonstrably didn't repeal Obamacare. And in fact, it was the most insolvent version of it. So, you know, I know we don't have time to get into all the details, but just the central point was that it didn't repeal the it. What's the it? What is Obamacare? Obamacare is a group of about 24 actuarially insolvent regulations that collectively takes insurance out of insurance. So, you know, it's like saying to Allstate, hey, you have to cover every car crash even after it already happened, even if the person never had insurance before and they're coming now and say, here's the bill. Now, that sounds lovely, but it's actuarially insolvent. Hence, the unsustainable premiums and, you know, 70% of the counties have two or fewer insurers, and the trend is getting even worse. Eastern Tennessee has no insurers left, and that's going to be a big part of the country within a year or two. So that they did not repeal that. It's called Title One.
Huh.
You know, Title One is in the first title of a statute, the foundation of it. So there's one thing if they would get up there and say, look, guys, we thought we'd repeal it, but we really were too scared. We don't want to repeal it. Instead, they lied. Inside meetings, they would yell at the Freedom Caucus members like Mark Meadows for saying, how dare you want to repeal Obamacare? Then they'd go out and say, Mark Meadows is preventing us from repealing Obamacare. Yeah. This is Orwellian. So again, it's not just that it's the big lie that Republicans really want to fulfill their campaign promises. It's that they then go and use our messaging and our talking points to say that it's people like Mark Meadows that are preventing repeal of Obamacare. That's kind of what happened in a nutshell.
Well, you mentioned Congressman Meadows, and of course, I would say that for the folks here in North Carolina, he should be applauded for actually having a bit of fortitude in standing up against this nonsense. And I know that you wrote an article that said, tongue-in-cheek, that, you know, he owes, you know, the GOP leadership an apology for actually believing what they said, particularly things like, we'll repeal this thing, root and branch, and all this other stuff. He has really been one of the few conservatives to stand up, and I think that should be applauded.
You know, there's obviously a lot of negativity and cynicism, and I'm kind of the grim reaper. I never have good news in politics, but I think it's important we take a moment to recognize that despite the broken system, that there are some genuinely good people in politics, not too many, but people like Mark Meadows. I mean, anyone who has met him, he is the nicest man. Never have a bad word to say about his colleagues, although they'll have bad words to say about him.
Yeah.
You know, just a really, I mean, his whole temperament is a really, he's a consensus builder. He's not there to blow things up. He actually wants to fulfill the promise. And by the way, he was willing to compromise a lot, even though the default position was full repeal. That was the promise. He was willing to keep some Medicaid expansion, some subsidies, as long as we get rid of the core of what destroyed the market, the, you know, guaranteed issue community rating regulations that take insurance out of insurance. So he really, I mean, everyone always says, what could I do? What could I do to make a difference? Well, I mean, supporting people like that goes a long way.
Let me ask you this, Daniel. So where are we right now? Is this done? Are we stuck now with Obamacare until the next election cycle when they need votes and decide that they want to, you know, start talking about repealing it again? Or is there a chance that people like Meadows can actually get something done?
Well, you know, that ball is in the court of Trump and McConnell and Ryan. You know, the Freedom Caucus position is their position. Paul, you know what Paul Ryan said? The whole point of contention here is pre-existing conditions. Republicans are going around and saying, oh, well, I hate Obamacare, but I like the pre-existing condition thing. Well, that's kind of like saying, I hate spring allergies. I want to cut off my nose, but I want my nose.
Exactly.
I mean, that is Obamacare. That was the whole point, that they destroyed the entire market to deal with it. Paul Ryan got up there at a press conference on Friday and actually espoused our position, which has been the Republican position, that he said the better way to deal with it is to deal with it separately by funding state high-risk pools. And indeed, this bill, in addition to expanding Medicaid, in addition to keeping some subsidies and the entire $1.2 trillion, you know, federal state combined healthcare spending that we do every year, it funded to a tune of $100 billion high risk pools to deal with this. So done. Once you're dealing with it there, so then now repeal the regulations that destroyed the marketplace. Let's do this tomorrow. I mean, so they are being very disingenuous, because the reality is they don't want to repeal it, and they never did. There's actually, you know, it was, once in a while you see a little bit of honesty, but from some of them, John Cornyn, the number two guy in the Senate, said today, we're done with budget reconciliation. We're not doing this. We're going to have to do this through the bipartisan legislative process. Anyone with a half a brain knows that there's not a single Democrat who has any political incentive to work with us. They will never. I mean, even if you give them liberal stuff, they're not going to do it. It just politically, it makes no sense for them to have any buy-in, just like Republicans didn't have any buy-in in Obamacare. So you have to do it through budget reconciliation, and which, you know, and again, who controls that process? The presiding officer.
Right.
Mike Pence or his designee. So, you know, this is an excuse. I'll give you one other interesting quote. The former Appropriations Committee chairman, it's slipping my mind. I'm forgetting his name. He retired a number of years ago, but they trotted him out. So he's no longer in Congress and I guess is able to be honest. He said, we need to be honest and say that it's a choice between Obamacare and single payer.
Hmm.
And I'm glad he's honest.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's not, because that's the Republican thinking now, that Obamacare is here to stay, and you know, they always have to have a bogeyman, you know, a false choice, why you have to vote for Republicans. So, again, remember a ratchet, the socialist ratchet, it can only move in one direction. So you always accept the complete Democrat baseline. Oh, but it will get even worse if you don't elect Republicans.
So the people like me were screaming, look, at the very least, stop penalizing people for not buying insurance. So they didn't even do that.
Well, I mean, to be fair, the problem with that is that, and this is why you can't half-bake it, healthcare is very complicated. It's not like, oh, I want $60 billion in spending cuts, so we'll compromise and do $30 billion. There's a lot of elements, and they each work together. So the problem is, look, you and I don't believe in mandates and requiring, you know, just this constitutional issue is requiring someone to purchase a private product. But the reality is, if you are going to keep the regulatory structure, which this bill absolutely kept, you do need an individual mandate, right? The whole point, both right and left-leaning economists will agree to this point, that if you're going to have a system of requiring insurers to fund basically private charity and it's insolvent, so then you have to have an individual and employer mandate forcing everyone, all the healthy people, to buy into it. Otherwise, you have adverse selection where, you know, because prices are unsustainable then with all the regulations, and then the young people say, screw it, I'm not buying this. And then it really becomes insolvent and you have a death spiral.
Yeah.
So that was the problem with this bill. It actually did repeal the individual mandate, but that's a problem if you're not getting rid of the regs. It's kind of like saying, I'm going to keep the tumor but get rid of the chemo.
Well, I think that the last question I would like to ask you, because I know that your time is at a premium, is this a, quote, death knell for Republicans? I know that, you know, 2018 is still a while away, but I think that the American people spoke pretty loudly in that, you know, President Trump was elected on a wave of discontent. Republicans are, as you know, in control in state houses and state legislatures and state governor's mansions and the Senate and Congress. They were put up there to do a job. And if they don't do that job, I think they put themselves in great risk. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just first off, as just to begin with, it's important to get this out of the way. It was worse to do this bill than nothing. I mean, that for sure, because the problem with this bill is it was a more insolvent version of Obamacare, except the Republicans would have owned it under the, you know, misconceived notion of repeal. So it would have been blamed on repeal, ironically. That's the worst outcome. At least now it's still the Democrat regime. The Democrats own this. But you're right. I mean, they made this promise. This was their Waterloo, and they look like a bunch of fools. It's kind of like when they say, oh, my gosh, Obama's amnesty is the most unconstitutional thing around. How do you give Social Security cards to illegal aliens? Well, Trump's own DHS is still doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the problem. And like I said at the beginning, this is not just about health care. The Republican Party is a false flag operation. It's all a campaign talking point on every issue. And, you know, again, to be very blunt, we're never going to solve this until we have a Freedom Party, not just a Freedom Caucus.
Yeah. Well, it's all very interesting and all very confusing at times, but you have certainly through your excellent work at conservativereview.com, made it all much more understandable. And for that, we appreciate, and we certainly appreciate your time here. So lastly, Daniel, real quick, next up, I guess, is budget and regulations. Are we just going to be Charlie Brown kicking the football and having it pulled away? Or is this something that we'll see some real reform on going forward here?
Well, it's up to the president. I mean, the bottom line is, even though we know constitutionally, mechanically, the, you know, congressional leadership moves the legislation, but politically speaking, the president controls the agenda when his party controls Congress, right? That's just how it works on both sides. It's always worked that way. So Donald Trump has two choices. He could continue doing what he does now, which is outsource his details to Paul Ryan and the establishment and the very swamp that he was elected to drain, and have the same result. You know, it's like saying, I want to move on. He says, I want to move on to tax reform. Well, it's tax reform. The devil's in the details, just like it is with healthcare reform and anything else. So if you're going to allow the RINO establishment to craft it, you're going to have the same problem. Or he could work with people like Mark Meadows to achieve his promise to put out his tax plan, which I believe was written by Art Laffer on the campaign. Very good plan. Across the board, individual rate tax cuts. He could work with them on immigration enforcement. He could work with them on the budget. And I would argue judicial reform, reforming the courts, is something we certainly need in light of what they're doing on stealing our national sovereignty. There's a lot of issues he could work with conservatives on. But if his attitude is, no, I'll work with Democrats or I'll work with the establishment, we're going to have the same result that we've always had.
And the bureaucracy continues to live and breathe and grow as it always does. Daniel Horowitz, author of Stolen Sovereignty, by the way, would encourage our listeners to pick that up, How to Stop Unelected Judges from Transforming America, and also to find your work excellent every day, multiple times a day, by the way, at conservativereview.com. Thank you so much for joining us here on What Matters in North Carolina.
Thank you. Take care. God bless.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Well, Daniel was in between stuff today, and so we appreciate him giving us 15 minutes or so to kind of update us on what did and did not happen without getting, as they say, into the weeds of detail so much on the Obamacare repeal that wasn't. That's what I've been calling it, the repeal that wasn't. And Daniel said, you know, it's probably a good thing in a weird kind of way, because the Republicans would have owned the mess that they were trying to pass. And he was very strong in his praise of North Carolina's Congressman Mark Meadows. So we appreciate all the work that he is doing. You can find Daniel Horowitz's work at conservativereview.com. Please pick up a copy of his book, excellent book, Stolen Sovereignty, How to Stop Unelected Judges from Transforming America. This is a topic that Daniel is particularly vibrant about. He has written numerous articles at conservativereview.com talking about how this judicial activism is completely out of control in America. And you know what? Congress can do something about it. Did you know that? Pick up a copy of Stolen Sovereignty. It will blow your mind what could be done. But Daniel said something that is really sad and scary at the same time. Maybe they don't want to change things. And what's the old adage? It doesn't matter who's in power. The bureaucracy lives, breathes. Daniel called it the Leviathan. It grows. And, you know, they say that cockroaches could survive a nuclear blast. The federal bureaucracy survives Republican majorities, Democrat majorities, Republican, Democrat presidents. It doesn't matter. And draining the swamp, so to speak, as President Trump said he would do, is turning out to be a lot more difficult than it was to talk about on the campaign trail. Well, thank you so much for listening. Wanted to remind you we're on Twitter at What Matters NC, and on Facebook. Please like our page. We'd be happy if you did that. Facebook.com/What Matters NC. Great show lined up for you tomorrow. Also, one last thing, go to nccapitalconnection.com, would you? You'll find all the latest in state government news there and up-to-date reporting and even a few columns and commentaries on things going on right here in North Carolina. My name is Mark Shiver. Thank you so much for listening to What Matters in North Carolina.